Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 130, part 2, The Rule and the Reward of Serving Jesus. Today is Sunday, January 24th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos. I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue North in Minneapolis. If you need food in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, LifeVantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, or make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. At the blog, you're going to find scripture links within the message that are posted there, so you'll be able to link to those scripture links. Be sure to join us for both episodes, part one on Friday and the conclusion, part two on Sunday. We're going to start the month out with Victorious Faith, Is This Thing From God?, Rule and Reward of Serving Jesus?, Comfort and Consistency?, Our Trials and Our Divine Deliverances. Again, have a great month. We'll see you back here for each episode. Have a great year in 2010. God bless you.
It's pretty obvious what the next step is when you're changing a baby's diaper. It's the same way in spiritual things. But it doesn't look quite good. Well, that's the next step. But who will ever notice? Who'll ever notice that I'm bagging potatoes? God does. Your soul does. Your soul does. You find rest in your soul. Isn't that worth it? God, it is to me. I am so weary of trying to be spiritual, I haven't made it yet. And I never will. And neither will you. And you'll go through 1,001 nightmares. Those are your deliverances, by the way. And don't sit around talking too much about your deliverances. Just go to the next step. And there's more to be delivered of course. Always. Is that right? Isn't that encouraging? I think it is. Because while I'm being delivered, I have rest for my soul, knowing Jesus has done the whole job, and I'm just going to go on to the next step. What if you were a dancer and you were doing the samba, and you only wanted to do one step? Huh? Only one step. And instead of going down, da 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 da, you only went down, 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 down. How long do you think the people would watch you? They'd say, "Get on with the next step, will ya?" Or when you play your music, If you're Dean, you just hit on one chord. Da, openers. And you just got into openers. Da, da, vibrating the keys. Instead of da, 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 da. You naturally go on with the next step on the keys. Isn't that right, Dean? Isn't that right, Dom, when you're playing the guitar? What if you just hit on two chords? Bing, bong. Now, Lord, is it your will for me to go on, or? Do the thing. Do the thing. Right? Isn't that right, Dom? Do the thing. Instead of going, ding, dong, and then get spiritual. And don't be afraid of being criticized. You're always going to be criticized. Always. I know I've had my fair share of it. You talk about these roasts they have in the world. Man, I have been roasted alive. Well, praise God, I'm still alive. A little burnt, but... People ask me, what happened to you? I said, well, I was through a roast. Christian roast. That's where they bomb you with words. Innuendo. You ever been fired up by innuendo? It'll burn your endo too. You hearing this? Oh, I'll get a call on that. Guy, you're taking it down right now, aren't you? Get the tape and you can get the whole thing. The whole endo of it. See, I don't care. I am free. Hallelujah. To be myself in the Lord. Instead of some kind of a weird, tight-lipped, white-faced, wondering if I please God today person. Are you saved? And they've been saved for 10 years. I don't know. I don't feel saved. Huh? And they're always going to the altar with their flesh. Always. I know in whom I have believed, and I am fully persuaded that he is able to keep me under that hour. I know him. But to know him, you got to be a real person, not someone acting out a part. Not acting out the pious part. Praise God. No. If that's the way you are, fine. But if you're acting out a part, and you're so busy acting out a part, you don't have time to follow the Lord. The Lord says, follow me, and you're acting out a part. Oh, wait, I have to act out this part. These people haven't seen my act yet. I'm not done. They expect me to be more spiritual. Lord! Lord! Huh? Isn't that crazy? I said, follow me! That's like your kid. He's over there showing off. Huh? He's got his hat on backwards and he's chewing gum. He's being a real mean and tough guy. He says, come on, Charlie, let's go. Let's knock it off. Well, wait a minute. I haven't punched this kid out yet, huh? What are you going to do? What are you going to expect? You're going to expect him to obey and drop what he's doing and follow you. If he doesn't follow you, he is going to get his britches taken down and he's going to have a black and blue and purple rump. Now I'm going to get letters on that one too. I know that. How many hearing this? Child brutality. I can hear the letter now. You know why people do things like that? They don't pick up on the spirit of the message. Ask God in every situation. Doesn't that simplify our life? Doesn't make it simple when we're laying in bed and it's at noon. Lord, what is your will for me? Well, you know what that is. The next step is to get out of bed, or God isn't even going to talk to you. Too many choices. You ever had so much in your ice box that you couldn't make a choice? Ham and turkey, chicken, roast duck, quail, roast beef, roast pork, cheese, Miracle Whip. Never make a sandwich without Miracle Whip, right? And all of these things to eat, and you just can't make up your mind? That's where Dagwood sandwiches came about. The guy wanted it all. But you only have beef in there if you only have peanut butter. Doesn't that simplify things? What are you going to have? Peanut butter. You know what? You'll enjoy it. That's all it is. Or it's like going to your clothes closet. You got all of these clothes. God, what should I wear? So you put on one thing and try it out. And yeah, but there's the blue one. Oh, I look so beautiful in that blue. See, which one have I had more compliments on? Blue? I think I'll wear the blue. And you put the blue on and get halfway out the door and say, nope, that's not the one. You go back in and change again, and you go out dissatisfied. Too many choices. Too many choices. That's what we're always looking for, to build up a whole lot of choices. But let's look at it another way. If any man serve me, let him follow me by imitating my example. Keep your eyes on the heavenly model. Do like he would have done. Love people, feed people, meet their needs, learn how to suffer with the people, learn how to sit with sinners, learn how to minister to folks' needs. And I believe we should all be like flowers growing out of his seed, the seed of Christ. But another thought I have here tonight, if any man serve me, let him follow me by clinging to my cause. Cling to the cause of Christ. Give yourself to the kingdom of God. Be ready and willing to make sacrifices. Are you willing to make sacrifices? What is a sacrifice? Sacrifice is not going to bed tonight, marching out into the parking lot, onward Christian soldiers, upon your lips, grabbing a cold bag with frozen fingers and stuffing bread into each loving bag. I can see right now half of the audience doesn't go for that. Hey, can't blame me for trying. I don't want to do the whole thing myself. Say amen, somebody. Sure, I'd like to be rolled up in that old bed too, but there's going to be folks up there waiting. If you're hearing me on the radio, get on down here and help us pack some of that bread up. Ooh, but be ready and be willing to make sacrifices. Throw your whole self into the service of Christ. Throw yourself in there. Well, you throw yourself into putting your makeup on, don't you? Don't you? And you get the eyeliner and the shadow that goes with this sweater and the shadow that goes with that dress or them shoes or what, them their eyes, you know, and all these things. Don't we throw ourselves into taking care of ourselves? Don't we throw our whole self into getting ready to be received by people? And you know what? You get all ready, you look prettier and all get out, and people don't even notice you. Isn't that right? Why not do that for the cause of Christ? Put your whole soul, and you'll get rest, the Bible says, for your soul. How I needed the rest for my soul all them years. how I needed to get Christ, how I needed to be water baptized and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how I needed to ask people boldly after that I was saved and filled, do you serve Christ? You listening, become involved in your church. See, following Christ is not a visionary one. You don't have to leave home and your family. You don't have to gear up with jungle gym outfits. You don't have to look like the pills of Pauline to follow Christ and to serve Christ. That is idle speculation. I think there's a whole lot of people that go to Africa and go all over the place, spend 2 weeks there having diarrhea from the water and come back. They're supposed to be on this great big crusade, see, and they go over there in the water. It just gets to them. Say amen, somebody. Oh, God. Stop dreaming up these fantasies of glory for yourself. Step in His steps as close as you can. Step in the, follow Christ's steps like it was the sand or the snow or whatever, and try to follow in His footsteps. It'll keep you busy trying to keep your balance. How many here now? Ooh, hallelujah. Be moved by His Spirit. Be moved by His motives. Live with His aim. Copy every action that He had. And secondly, let us notice the fellowship of service. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. No other master ever said that. Can you imagine your earthly master, say the president of some large company, letting you be where he's at? He's got his bow tie on, and he's got his suit on, all tailor-made, tapered just right, and the pants are just sharp as a razor, and his shiny shoes on, you know, and his hair slicked back just right. Man, he's just looking like something else. And you come in.
Hi, boss. Where you are, I want to be.
Well, he says, where I am, you are not. Get out. But God, Jesus Christ doesn't say that. There you will be. God, that's fantastic, isn't it? Isn't that mind-boggling? See, earth masters cannot stand to your face. Get out of my face. That's what they're going to say to you. Get out of my face. But Jesus doesn't say that. Even the churches are class conscious, aren't they? I wonder sometimes if we took our great big group of people here from the north side with their rags on and we took them out to some suburb. Are you listening, suburban church? Don't get mad at me. Just send your cards and letters full of money in, please. Keep us away from your doors any way that you can. But just imagine our going to the unsaved church and bringing in all of these people migrating out there with old rags on, old smelly clothes, and getting up the hobos and all the people that we run into. Gathering them all in a couple of buses or so, and they want to freak everybody out and take the whole of the north side up there. Just a couple of busloads. That's all we'll bring, 150, 250 at the most. Don't worry about it. Bringing them out and bringing them in and bringing them all the way up to sit in their rags. Would they be received? The answer is no. Or maybe for one service. Pretty soon somebody in the church would say, you know what? I don't think we should allow all these people to come in. let's pay him to keep him out of here. Let's give them all to Pastor Paul. Hey, I want them. Did you hear me? How many heard what I said there? I want them. I want to feed them. I want to clothe them. You know why I'm... I got to tell on myself. It brings rest to my soul. Rest to my soul. Rest. I can remember back when I had no rest for my soul. I would work 20 hours a day, 7 days a week. Am I lying, Jim? Because I couldn't find rest for my soul. Sometimes I'd stay up around the clock. I'd stay up sometimes as much as 60 hours at a whack. Because I couldn't find no rest for my soul. Oh. Well, you say, well, where is Jesus? Can I follow him to heaven? No, I'm not talking about that. No, you follow his example he made while he was here. He was in a place of consecration. And if you follow him, he will put you into a place of dedication and consecration and sanctification. It'll just happen automatically as you serve the Lord, imperfect as we are, but we go on serving the Lord, doing the next step. Now, you sluggers listening, you must first get out of bed and stop praying for a motorized bed. It ain't going to do you no good. I think some people, they're such big sluggards that, you know what they do? They get on the side of their bed like they have these little red wagons and they push their leg like that. See, they wouldn't have to give up that bed. And you're not going to get holy by reading all these books. No, you're not going to. No, you must follow. You must follow Jesus. It is an active obedience. Now, let's say you train your dog and you send him to one of these obedience schools. And he understands perfectly, see? And you say, sit. Do you understand what that means, dog? It cost me $150. And the dog says, yep, yep, yep. I know what you mean. I went to obedience. I got it down. But he doesn't sit. Stand, stay. And he just says, yep, I understand. But he doesn't do it. Or you train your kid. Let's say you potty train him and he understands perfectly what to do. And he won't go to the potty. You understand what I'm getting at? Wouldn't that sort of excite you? Do you want them to shake their head and say yes and then not do it? Or would you want to train up some workers and then they would say, I understand what you're saying. You want me to do this? But no. I know, I understand. I know. But you don't want to do it? Now, here's Dolores. She wasn't feeling too good today. And, you know, it's not that she's old, but she's not young. Now, she went out on this bread run. Why? Because she had to obey the Lord or she would have no rest for her soul. I think it's just like rivers. They give up their sewage as they flow. And I think as we flow, we give up our sewage also. I think if people have nothing to do but just sit around, sit down and stare into the black hole of their own nature, They're always bummed out. You ever seen a person that's bummed out? They're sitting down looking into the black hole of their own nature. Here's this big black hole, and they're looking in there at their own nature. God, terrible. Get your eyes off yourself. Concentrate on Him. Don't concentrate on your own black nature. It is vile and wicked, and the heart is wicked, and who can know it? And stop always walking around with white lips, just wondering why you're so wicked. The Bible says you are. And if it wasn't for the blood of Christ, you'd never make it to heaven. Have you ever tried to keep the law 100% perfectly? Have you ever tried to keep the commandments? And I'm not giving you license to sin here. Don't write that down on your book. Have you ever tried to keep the law 100% perfectly? The Ten Commandments? Perfectly? You can't do it. Because you'd be conniving while you were trying to do it. Now, how can I do this? How can I make this work out? It can't be done. You're just going to get paler and paler and more sickening to be around. And you'll have your bummed out days. You ever seen that where people are just bummed out all the time? They're looking into the hole, this black hole of their own nature, wondering why they're that way. And the Bible tells them why they are that way. They have a fallen nature, and it's way down in that black hole. And they keep looking inside her, and the more they look, the more miserable they become. The answer is, go to the next thing. And get off of the thing you're in, self. And go on to the next thing. Is that simple? The next thing. Or do you want to just keep staring into that big old black hole of self? Oh God, look at me. Look. A snake bit. Oh, deliver me from this body of the flesh. What does Paul say? What does Paul say? Praise God. Jesus Christ has delivered me from looking down into that black hole. Not condemnation. I'm not preaching condemnation. I'm preaching freedom from looking into the black hole itself. But sometimes we like to peek in. Did you ever have that fascination? My mother told me one time, don't put your finger in that light socket. And that's years ago. You had to screw in the plug-in. So I started thinking about it. Don't put your hand in the light socket. You to toot 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 toot. Click, bang, the door shut. Light socket. Finger. Finger. Light socket. Lock socket. Finger. I wonder what happened. I ain't gonna do it. I know I'll get a shock. Yow! Don't we do that? Don't we play with things? And we keep looking into the black hole. God says, don't look into that black hole of self. And we get all nervous and sweaty. And we want to peek in our own black nature again. And no one's looking. And then we take a peek into the kaleidoscope of self. Oh, God. Oh, it's terrible. Oh, I hate myself. Oh, God, I hate myself. I hate you. Ooh. That's why people go mental. Do you know that? That's why Christians go mental, because they want to obey God and they want to look at themselves instead of Jesus. Did you ever notice how many mentals there are in the house? I mean mentals. Have you? You've never noticed that? I have. There's a lot of mentals around, isn't there? Well, what is mental? I said one night here, I'll say it again, I'm glad I've always been a little crazier all my life. It's kept me from going insane. Let me wrap this up here for you. You listening on the radio, you just turned me on and off. Now, you didn't get the whole message. Why don't you just get the tape? You just got so mad. But where is Christ? For he says, where I am, there shall also my servant be. He was and he will always be in communion with God himself. But how do we arrive there? By following Jesus. You want to walk with God, what must you do? Well, you got to walk. 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 If you want to walk in the garden with God, you got to walk with Jesus. If you want to get to the kingdom of God, you got to do the walk. I'm not talking about some kind of a weird dance. You got to do the walk. Don't sit down. Don't group up in dung hills. Don't enter into dunghill conversations. Don't worry about shammers, or you'll become the chief of all shammers. Be diligent, be active in service, and keep your eyes on Christ and not the shammers. But our Lord also was in a place of confidence. Wherever Christ went to work, he had a confidence in the Father that it would be done, that his labor would not be done in vain. Whenever we do something, whenever we follow Christ and we do what Christ beckons us to do, the next step, we don't do it in vain. We have confidence that it isn't in vain. Now, follow him. It takes the fear out of, and it puts the victory into, your work. You know what? I have the victory in. I have the victory in the next step. And then I have the victory in the next step. And then I have the victory in the next step, and the next step, and the next step, and the next step. I get the victory one step at a time. Now, how do you care how you get the victory? You walk out here with arrows in your back, darts all over the backs of your legs, bruises, whipped, beaten, thrown down, forsaken. But you make it. Isn't that what it's all about? But also our Lord, and I'm closing it up, was in a place of very holy calm. He's always on these rough waters, but he had sort of a holy calm. Oh, that's so great to have that holy calm. And everybody else is all excited. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And then you pray. And you say, my God. Get a holy calm. The world tells you, get a hold of yourself. But we get a hold of Christ. And we get into a holy calm. Did you ever notice when Jesus, wherever he was, there was all kinds of turmoil. People yelling and shouting, crucify him! Liar! Whoremonger! Winebibber! And he kept right on talking. But I say unto you, love it, I love it. He had a holy calm. Isn't that great? When everything is going wrong, and, you know, sometimes there ain't a whole lot of help and stuff. You have a holy calm. Don't have to get all excited. Don't have to get all bitter. You just have holy. When the wife or the husband or the boyfriend or the girlfriend go the opposite way or you get into an argument, get a hold of Jesus and have a holy calm. You know what? That frustrates the enemy. When you have a holy calm. Now, I'm not talking about a pious, irritating calm. Walking around, I'm trying to be calm. Now, that's a good way to get beat in your face. Say amen, somebody. You hear what I'm saying? But when you got a holy calm on you, nobody's going to be monkeying with you too long. And all the shammers and the rest of the group, the dunghill crowd, is going to be leaving. Pick up their stink, their self, and leave. Because holy calmness has a way of doing it. Maintain, the world says, be cool. Be cool. And or else they say, I'm cool. I hear that all the time down here. I'm cool. Or they'll tell me, be cool. Well, I say, no, I'll be calm. Calm and cool. Well, cool's all right. Right? Are you hearing this? It's too simple, ain't it? I'm sorry I was so simple tonight. I'm sorry that radio audience, I'm sorry you're listening and you were looking for something that you'd have to chew on for a month before you understood it. I really am. Oh, sorry to be a disappointment. But you know, this message will stay with you. But praise God, He has also gone to prepare a place for all of us, and in due time, we shall go there also. I go to prepare a place for you. Besides, when I see Jesus, I see all glory anyway. He's all glory. Lastly, if any man serve Him, will my Father honor. When we join Christ, we are joined to the Father also. We become, the Bible says, the sons of God. He honors us then by giving us a sense of approval. Oh, isn't that good when you know you're approved of God? When you have a rest in your souls and you know you've obeyed the Lord in something that your flesh says, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Oh, it's bitterly cold. It's too hot. It's too hard. It's not spiritual. And you obey the Lord in it? Don't you feel great when you obey? Don't you just feel great and wonderful and beautiful all over when you obey the Lord? Doesn't it make you just feel so great? Think of it. God accepts our service. Think of it. The blood of Jesus Christ makes us holy and acceptable in God's sight. Wow. Stop running around with a tape measure measuring other people. How do you measure up? Bzzz. What if God comes and says, what are you doing? Well, I was measuring these people up according to myself. He says, would you like to measure yourself up according to me? The measure that you mete it out, so shall it be met out to you. The measure that you judge others, so shall ye be judged. And if you live under the law, then you will have to live by the law. And keep it to the very letter. And then we're going to stand one day at the judgment seat of Christ. I started to think what a glorious thing it will be to find the Father ready to receive us unto Himself forever. And to give us honor because we have served the Son. Our reward will not be of debt. But our reward will be but of grace. It is grace that gave us the service, and it is also grace that we reward that service. And I have to say this in the very finality of this message. Listen, Christian. We are in the fighting day. Accept nothing now but bullets. Not cake and eat it too messages. Accept nothing now but arrows and wounds. Accept nothing now but scars and insults. Because the battle will soon be over. The king will come and it will ride up and down amongst the ranks. And in that day you will You have been the most battered. He'll stop right by you and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, this message was tonight to the people of God, those that are saved. I must say something to the unsaved, though. You who are not saved, you are enemies of Christ, those that haven't received Him. This message wasn't for you. Unconverted people can never truly work for God. He wants no such servants, no rebels in His host. So first, you must surrender your life. Next, you must submit your life and say, yes, Lord, I want to serve You. You must lay down all those weapons of rebellion. And then go to Him and accept your forgiveness, and He will do as He has promised. He will reward you in that final day. Glory to God, the rule and the reward in serving Jesus. When you keep the rule in serving Jesus, you gain the reward. And when you gain the reward, you've kept the rule. And the rule is to serve the Lord. There is no calmness that will ever come to your souls and my soul until we learn how to serve Jesus and we come against the flesh and we say, I have decided to follow Jesus. So if you